Well, we're a few in number, but I'd like to welcome all those who have come today. We usually have a roll call at the beginning of the meeting, and we're doing that today mostly by signing in here. Is everybody aware that you should sign in over here at the table? I've asked Dale Clarkson if he would give a prayer and see if we can get a little help from heaven today on this. And so, Dale.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the good things that thou hast blessed us with. We're grateful for this beautiful day and the sunshine and the ambience of the ranch. We're grateful for the creations that thou hast given to us and for the opportunity to be here and enjoy this day. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the freedoms that thou hast blessed us with in America and the privileges that we have, the opportunity of getting together, working one with another to try and make the area and our relationships better. We pray thy spirit to be with us today, that we will be able to express ourselves well, that we will be loving and friendly and kind in those things that we say and do that will be of benefit to Deer Springs Ranch. We're grateful for the opportunity of working together and of putting our ideas in place. We are grateful for the opportunity that we've been together for many years as a haven and a fun place for our families. We pray that God would continue to bless us, to bless the board of directors, the leadership, the responsibilities that they have to accomplish good things. We pray that thou would hedge up the aggravation of negativity and those who choose to work in different areas. We realize, Father, that we all come from different backgrounds, and that we need to have thy spirit to be with us, to bring about cooperation and help to accomplish difficult tasks. We're grateful for the moisture that we've received and for the beauty of the area, the growth that we see, and the opportunity we have to work together in the opportunity of land ownership that was promised in the Constitution. Now we pray for thy spirit to be with us, help us to do thy will in all things, and to receive guidance from thee. And we give thanks to those who have worked hard for this meeting and for the well-being of the ranch, and the responsibilities that bring us together. Help us to do thy will, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. Let's find out who all is here a little bit today. How many of you live in Utah? Raise your hand. Yeah. About Nevada? Nevada, okay. Arizona. Right. Idaho. Montana. Canada. New Mexico. California. Okay. Couple Texas. From California, so.
Texas.
Yeah, Texas, that's right. Dan's here. I think it'd probably be undisputed that Dan's come the furthest of anybody coming from Texas. Is that further than California? Any comments from the Californians? Okay, all right.
I thought real Texans wore big hats. That's a sissy hat for a Texan.
Well, this morning we wanted to make an award to the members who had traveled the furthest. And so, Dan, the board had approved us to offer you as a congratulations and a thank you for coming, either a hat or a shirt for you and your wife there.
New York.
New York.
That's a New York hat.
So you can choose what you'd like and tell us after and we'll do that.
I think New York and Texas should split. although he's a Yankee, so duck 2,000 miles.
Yeah, all right. How about family reunions? How many of you have had a family reunion out here this year? One, two, three. Okay. Four. Five. Six. Okay.
Oh.
You had two. I had two, too. Very good. I think there's, again, make sure you sign in on the roll. But I think so few of us here that we have time to do this. And to better know who we're with, let's start. We'll start with the board here, and we'll stand, and we'll just go around, and everybody just real quickly just say your name, your lot, and where you're from, so we know our neighbors here.
Jeff Nicholson.
Way to go.
Living in Kanab, lot 113. Leland Gentry, lot 2324.
Where are you looking from?
St. George.
Okay, Phil Hall, I come from St. George, lot 58-44.
Dirty Acres, lot 128, Apache Junction, Arizona.
John Harris, lot 163. Live here 6 months and Arizona 6 months.
Joe Bonet, I'm from Las Vegas. I've been on lot 107.
Been here since 1978.
Brad? Brad Hunt. Tammy and I own lot 149, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. We have six kids. We've only left for a couple years. We're from West Haven, Utah. Diamond Valley, Utah. Deer Creek Ranch.
Hi, Mariah. Lot 152. I'm from Kanab, and I am the secretary and receptionist. Also, reservation in training for Linda.
Bill Clarkson. We have several lots, but our home is on 164. Yeah, one thing. How many of you have seen the video that has been released last month? How many have seen the video? We're excited about that. All of you should see it. It really shows the ranch in a beautiful way. We live in Canal.
I'm Dan Green, lot 155, 156, owner since 2004.
Diane and Michael Walsh on 301, Frontier, and 306, Frontier.
Florida.
Mark Rally, we got lot 233, Lake Utah.
Tammy Lappin, we have 239 and 232. We have been working on the basement all these weeks. And now we're going to be back.
Dan worked 10 lots more than 10 years. I can't remember exactly. And Houston, Texas.
I'm Dave Ritter. I bought George Strange's lot, 129. I retired about a year and a half ago. I was a firefighter in the most Bay Area. I don't even want to get into it, but I'm very glad I'm here, and I want to be a good neighbor, so date, whatever I can do to help, please let me know.
Bob and May Woolsey, Route 220, Littlefield, Arizona.
Karen Bragg, my husband and I own 12 and 13, and we've owned one of the lots for almost 20 years and the other for about 10. And we're from State Georgia. Kathy Gentry, owner of 2324.
And
from St. George.
Greg Kogler, Lot 23 from St. George, this is my wife, Sherry.
Barry Clarkson from Santa Clara, Lot 173.
Mike Andrews, 28, Lot 285.
Driver, I 85, also from the area.
I used to live on Lot 117, and I just found out Kathy was selling this morning.
Everybody. So full-time people that live here, pretty much full-time, or at least, well, raise your hands, we're half here. One, we got one. Okay. Well, would you stand up again, John? Now, John's a model, did you notice? He's got the shirt and the hat. And he's good looking, too, right?
Well, I don't know. My wife will say that, but you know how she lies.
All right. Well, thank you. That was fun to get to know all of you a little bit better. As you know, the annual meeting is to for all of us to, one, be a little bit of accountability, to report on what's been done, so you know where your dues have gone, what projects are underway, and as we'll have a little later on this afternoon, the time for everybody to voice whatever they would like to about what they would like to see done and what changes they would like to have made. And so as you notice in our agenda down there after lunch, it takes a while to count the ballots, so we kind of stall around a little bit, and we're going to have an auction of certain things, or by the end of lunch. And then we have this open forum for at least an hour. There's no real time limit. We don't want to have anybody faint from being too tired about things, but it's not meant for a time to do a whole lot of arguing, although strong opinions, I'm sure, will be voiced, and that's fine. We all want to know the desires of everyone here, and that helps the board a lot. It helped the board a lot this last year. As you know, when the water vote didn't quite pass, we got a lot of input. We worked hard, and then we got that accomplished this last year. So it's an important time. So, barring no objections to our agenda, I will now have Candy for Joe. Is that right? She's going to read, I think you have a copy of them, of the minutes from our last annual meeting. And she will read those, and then I'll be looking for a motion to accept and them as correct. And if you have something you remember that's not mentioned or not corrected here, that's why we're reading them now, for you to help us make sure of our records, that our records are accurate. So, Candy, you got water? It's long. Take it away.
Welcome, everybody. I am Candy Mose. I knew I'd be saying something later, so I just kind of let Joe say her over here. So anyway, these are the minutes. September 12, 2015. Board members that were present. Leland Gentry was teleconferencing, and Art Orlani. We had 52 members show up for the annual meeting last year. Number one, call to order. Bill called the meeting to order at 10 a.m. Dirk Tyson offered a prayer to Deer Springs Ranch members. Art Ortolani resigned before his term was finished. His position has not been filled. Phil Hall discussed the agenda to the membership. And again, 52 members were able to come out and join us. Phil Hall, president of DSROA, gave a message as an overview for the 2014-2015 years at the ranch. He thanked all who were in attendance today. He stated that the assessments will not be raised, but there needed to be a plan to maintain cabins. The rains have been very heavy, and there is a need to have culverts placed and roads graded. Water resources has been a major undertaking for the Water Committee, from organization to the legal aspect for all DSR members. The finances are better now than they've been in years, as current and past dues are being paid. The board has reinstated the DSR policies to collect. Rules and regulations for the ranch have been updated and clarified. The minutes of the annual meeting in 2014 were read to the members. Jody Akers made a motion to accept them as written. Kathy Gentry seconded it. Unanimous, passed by the board and DSROA members. Financial report. Jody Akers reported on the status of DSROA. More dues have been collected from the members. The wildlife budget was over by $1,000 thanks to Larry Clarkson. There were also savings in crop management. The cabin supplies are fine with the budget. The ranch purchased a used 2006 Polaris after selling the old one and selling the older truck. This should help in. The amount of rain indicated the need for more culverts and cleaning out of Half Moon retention basin. Last year, we made $600 from the auction that could be used on the 2015 annual meeting. The budget will include a reserve account that will be used for items needed at the ranch or for emergencies. The board shows needs for cabin three walkway to be refurbished, culverts, possible solar in cabin eight, and mattresses for the cabins. The financial statement will be in the next newsletter. Bank statements currently show $54,000. Assessments received add up to $132,000. Protective covenant and bylaw change proposals. Jody Akers and Vance Green discussed the 0.45 acre feet of water that all DSROA members can receive. All guidelines are within the Utah state laws. Vance Green discussed the neighborhood water systems and the issues that can prevail. Board candidate presentation and question response. Shauna Cox and Byron Schimpf were not present. Other candidates present were Jody Akers, Robert Allen, Joe Bonze, Jerry Clarkson, John Harris, Ed Kennedy, Jeffrey Mickelson, and Dave Turley. Each candidate presented their information and answered questions from the members at large. To see specific responses, please refer to the audio of the meeting you just posted on the website. Dirk Playson commented that not all concerns had been addressed on the issues before going to vote. Bob Woolsey stated that nothing was perfect and that we should move on. 19 members voted to move on, and 15 were opposed. The meeting continued. All ballots were called for by Linda Alderman. 5 DSR members assisted in the counting: Nancy Brayton, Kathy Gentry, Karen Fry, Terry Garrett, Roland Bean, and Linda Alderman. Val Cram was asked and agreed to leave the meeting after harassing members about a lack of discussion and voting. Phil Hall reflected on the incident and hoped members were not uncomfortable. The vote of the membership was to have order. Reports from board members and areas of responsibility. Joe Bonze, equipment, facilities, habits. Maintenance has been kept up for the equipment as Joe Bonze and Paul Brayton got the grader blade welded and saved over $3,000. Branch vehicles have had regular inspections and were kept up to safety and low maintenance. The cabins are still in need of maintenance, and the managers will continue to do this. A checklist of requirements for the cabins and the maintenance is ongoing. It was suggested that maybe we have a steel drive at the ranch to collect all junk steel and get money for the ranch while cleaning up areas. The scrap could be brought to the well field by the generator. Jody Akers, budget and water resources. Jody spoke about the pay-for-play program of $2 per person per day. The $475 assessment fee does not apply to just cabinees, but to all aspects of the ranch. 34% of the assessments, which is approximately $9,748, goes to the cabins. The cabin expenses total about $47,821. From the $50 reservation fee, $5,700 is collected. This is insufficient to maintain the cabins. Therefore, the pay-for-play program. Call or email Jody Akers concerning more information on the program for DSR. Leland Gentry, Agriculture and Wildlife. Paul Brayton reported on the weed control program for the ranch and the need to continue the spraying. Robert Musto, Roads and Fire Protection. Greater work has been done in Sly Canyon with some ditching done too. Meadow Canyon has been graded 3 times, but members and non-members are asked not to drive on it during wet times if at all possible. Culverts have been cleaned out and continue to be maintained. There was a massive washout on Meadow Canyon Road that needed repairs. Paul Brayton and Brent Fulmer used ranch equipment and fixed the area. Gravel was brought in too. The Johnny Brown Road had larger culverts added, but they also washed out. The area from the cabins to the headquarters had bad spots of washing out due to the heavy rains. Work and equipment were hired out this year, the ranch not having the necessary equipment. A suggestion was to rent a backhoe and a grizzly to save money and manage the budget. A 5-year road plan could also assist management of time and money. A used fire truck was purchased for the ranch. It has a 500-gallon water tank and runs well. It can be used anywhere on the ranch for fires and our many lightning fires. The Title V road, the Johnny Brown Road, was graded and is Robert Allen, Reservations, Web Development, and Communications. Bob Allen keeps in contact with the webmaster for the website to be maintained for its development and the many notifications. If there are emails made between board members, any outcomes from the emails must be 100% in agreement before the issue can proceed. He has helped the board keep abreast with the HOA rules governing DSR and abide by the rules and HOA compliance. Paul Brayton has great mobile units radios for the ranch that are good for 15 channels. This can increase the communication of the ranch.
You're right, it's long.
You're doing a good job.
Paul Brayton, ranch manager. Paul and Nancy have been at the ranch for 7 years. They continue to assist members with information concerning the ranch and cabins while they have the social interactions of food and talking. Paul reported that roads such as Sierenbach have had Kane County bring in gravel. He has done preventative culvert work in areas that consistently wash out and become impassable. The fences and chutes are being repaired for the cattle. Common areas have been brush hogged. Noxious weeds have been sprayed. He oversees the two water systems, headquarters and the upper cabins, and they have tested out as clean water. Across from the rock pit, southeast corner, is the slash pile, which is the only place to dump materials. Members are asked not to bring materials, any nails or metal, as they do not burn. The gravel pit rules need to be enforced by contacting Brent Fulmer or Paul Brayton for any removal. The payment of 50 cents per yard must be applied and paid and pay BLM their royalties. There is no burn calendar in the area, including DSR, from June to October. This must be enforced. Earl Levanger will inspect areas for fire potential and certify areas. If a fire permit is needed, members can go to the BLM office for this. Tamara Harden asked if King County could bring out a dumpster for members to have availability to dump their trash. There would be a charge, so this could be looked into. Sorry. Why? Phil Hall, they like my perfume. Phil Hall reported on the U.S. Forest Service fire burns, the fire abatement. A 30-day notice for DSROA to respond with comments us notified and in the loop. The burn will give the Forest Service our opinions. The link will be set up on our DSR website to do so. It is set for the Crawford and Slide area and above Podunk, the north side of the ranch, where they would limb and trim and clear out the dead wood and underbrush to create a zone of defense. This may also lead to commercial logging. DSR wants to hold the Forest Service responsible for the projected burn, which would hopefully make them presentation of election results. Linda Alderman presented the results of the election and propositions after lunch. Results from the voting. We had 231 ballots cast. Joe Bose received 125 votes. John Harris, 122. Jody Akers, 120. Jeff Mickelson, 109. These will be the new board members for the 2015-2017 terms. Dave Turley declined. He also had 109 as Jeff Mickelson. Barry Clarkson, 108. Robert Allen, 105. Shauna Cox, 100. Ed Kennedy, 19. And Byron Schimpf, 7. Proposition 8, water bylaw change. 120 votes yes, 120 votes no. Change did not pass by the required two-thirds. 150 yes votes needed to pass.
Candy? 106 votes no.
What did I write?
You wrote it right. You just said 120 twice.
Thank you. Proposition B, easements. 112 votes yes, 114 votes no. Change did not pass by the required three-quarters. 170 votes yes votes in order for it to pass. 5 members abstained from voting on proposition. The general membership clarification and discussion. Hall. Questions arose as to why a discussion on the propositions was not allowed prior to the vote. It was felt that there was adequate time for questions and answers after receiving the proposals in the mail prior to the meeting, and email addresses and phone numbers were included for such. A vote was taken from the attending members prior to the vote to proceed without further discussion, as the documents were not able to be changed or altered at this point. The propositions were already written and they needed to voted on as they were. The majority in attendance voted yes. Easement discussion. There was a discussion of the problems with the easement proposition as it was written. As currently written, it describes what an easement is and prior uses and states that easements are easements of DSROA only and not for private use. This essentially removes title to access from all of our properties. Explanation, title of access. Own a property, and you get a policy of title insurance to ensure that you own it, you may have access to it. You need to have a private easement access in order to get to it, or property access. It can't just be the HOA's access. Consensus of attendees agreed that the intent was to try to prohibit people from creating new construction access. The right to exercise easements is currently in the title of the current landowner. Concern was that any member neighbors could decide it would be just a little more convenient to use the easement on the other side of the property line, and since it's an easement, they could just do it. All were in agreement that nobody's trying to restrict access that's already in existence, and where there has already been a road put in. No one is trying to remove that. If a member wishes to utilize an easement between their lot and another member's lot, they should talk to that other member and try to come to some kind of agreement. The suggestion was to scale the language back to make it very clear that private property matters, and private property matters, and in association matters. While the CCNRs allow the board and the association to enforce the CCNRs, each individual has the right to do that. The language that was proposed takes that away. Suggestions to improve the language included: new construction on existing easements requires ESROA board approval. Newly constructed easements require an agreement between the lot owners affected. This would accomplish the same outcome, but it wouldn't jeopardize access or rights that the members have to maintain access as they have to their property. It would just prevent members from making a new access to their property while running it by the board. The board does not want to be put in the middle of the decision of private matters. As written, it bequests the authority back to the board. There is broader committee needed for input. Water proposal discussion. Discussion ensued over confusion on the realm of the new water proposal documents pertaining to water systems being developed on and between individual lots and owners, and water systems being developed on or going through association-owned land or from association-owned water source. Language presented in the proposal was not clear enough on the above issue. Water policy needs a little more tweaking, so other members join the committee in an effort to clarify the proposal and to come to a better agreement. The annual meeting was adjourned. Many thanks for the efforts of all to put this together. The Hunt family and Nancy Brayton put together the great food today. The individuals who assisted in the voting and tally process for the election are most appreciated. Our entertainer today, Mike Ewing, was great, and we love having him here for setting the ranch ambiance. We appreciate everyone that came out today to support us and Deer Springs Ranch. Thank you for all. Thank you all for being part of this.
Nice job, Candy.
Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes? Seeing there are none, I would entertain a motion to accept them.
I'll make that motion.
Jody Akers, thank you. Makes a motion to accept the minutes. Do we have a second? Kathy, okay. We have a second. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes have passed. Thank you. That was a great undertaking. It's always a great undertaking each year to compile these minutes, and it's a big job. So thanks to all those that worked on that. All right. There have been a few members that have come in just since we started, and we had everybody stand up and introduce themselves. So these few folks, I'd just like you to stand up, tell us your name, what lots you own, and for everybody to know you a little better. What? And where are you folks from? And where do you come from? Arizona.
Mesa.
Thank you, Jane.
I'm Tamara Harden. I own lot 289. This is my son, Tanner. We live in Cedar City, Utah.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Did you folks introduce yourselves earlier? Okay, the Turleys are right over here. Oh, okay. He's the smart guy in the shade back there. So actually, we started out few, and we've come in, and so now I think there are a few more, 55 or so, a few more than we had last year. So very grateful for you being here. We're coming to, I think, an entertaining part of the program, and that is those who would wish to run for the board. We have a list of 9 people, and we'll just go down that list, and this has meant everyone has had a chance to send out information about themselves. So this is kind of a reminder, candidates, for you just to remind people a name with a face, and being brief, give us a few minutes on why you would like to be on the DSROA board. So Barry, you're first on the list, and we'll just proceed down that list. You know what? I put my glasses on and I missed it as well. Thank you, Barry. Yes, we're supposed to have our financial report now. I got ahead of us here on the agenda.
I can wait.
She thought she was getting off the hook.
It's like, all this paperwork I prepared, you're going to skip me?
Okay. Take it away, Jody, and then we'll get back to the... I don't know if this is entertaining or not.
No, I don't think this is entertaining. It is what it is. Okay, currently we have approximately $24,000 in our checking account, about $4,400 in the savings, and about $1,800 in the manager's account. Can everybody hear me back there? Okay. If you need me to do louder, just raise your hand. By my estimate, we have approximately $25,000 yet to come in, so adding that to what we have in the bank, we have about $55,150 to cover our expenses for the rest of the year. I project our expenses will be about $43,000, so we should end up the year with about $12,000 to transfer into our savings account by the end of the year or put it into another special project. We've had a lot of good special projects this year. A quick summary of our year-to-date P&L shows that we, and you all have a copy of that or it's up here, shows that we have collected $124,000 in assessments, almost $5,600 in cabin income, over $1,700 in store sales, giving us a total income of $138,535. Going through the expenses, you will see that in some categories we have overspent and some categories we have underspent. This is normal and a yearly occurrence. The budget needs to be a little bit flexible as our needs change over the year. Although we are budgeted to spend $16,000 in the road category, we have only used a little more than half of that. The purchase of the backhoe has allowed us to do many projects without hiring subcontractors, so not only do we need to have the equipment now needed to do our own work, we are saving money by doing it ourselves. We are hoping to roll some of our savings this year into a purchase of a dump truck at some time. Then we'll be totally self-sufficient for our road work, so we can see a lot more money going that way. And, well, not more money, but after the dump truck, we won't have to pay constantly for subcontractors and outside help. If you'll notice, I posted a detailed count of our finances for the past 4 years on the walls. I encourage you all, come up, look at them. Look to see what the numbers are. Look to see where the numbers went. There's summaries on there that kind of shows, outlines where your money has been spent over the years. If you have any questions about that, Mariah's here with the computer. She can go into QuickBooks and find out exactly what. Ask me. It's there for you guys to know, you new members, old members, everybody, where your dollar's going. Don't rely on third-hand information. It's probably wrong. Numbers just don't lie, folks. Members of the board that oversee specific areas will fill you in on the many projects that have been completed this past year. A lot has been accomplished, and we've never been in better financial shape. From my experience serving on the board for the past 6 years and as treasurer for the past 4, I can honestly tell you that your money and the needs of the ranch in general have never been regarded better. And that's the close of my financial report.
Thank you, Jody. Does anybody have a specific question? All right. And then, as she invited you to, you can look at not only this year, but the past years, and look at every item, every dollar that's been spent. And Jody will, later on, we'll have board members will report on their areas of responsibility, and we'll get a little bit more information about all of these different areas. Okay. Now then, we will have the candidates each stand for a few minutes, and we could go on for a long time, but this again is just to remind you who they are. If you have a burning question, we'll allow up to two questions for each candidate. So, Barry?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, my name is Barry Clarkson. I live in Santa Clara. I practice law in Utah, Arizona, and Nevada. I've been involved in the ranch since the ranch began. This last year, involved in working, trying to put together a compromise that would help us put the water issue as far as water systems to bed and allow everybody to move forward on an equal and fair basis. In the interest of time, I'm guessing that everybody's already decided who they're going to vote for, so that's, unless you have a question for me, that's really all the input I have.
Do you have an office in Vegas or just in Mesquite?
Right now we just have an office in Mesquite. I had one in Vegas a few years ago, but we stayed busy enough that it wasn't worth the travel, so. Any other questions?
Awesome. Thank you, Ray. I'm Leland Gentry. I own it with my wife, Kathy, at lot 2324 in Stony Barren. As many of you know, this is an election year for our country. And if you look at the infighting that's going on between the two candidates, and we're left with two candidates that neither were, none of us probably either want to really vote for, because they both have some hidden agendas that go on. But the people that are voting for them, you got to see past the candidates. They may not be totally informed and not diving into the issues and understanding fully of what's going on with our country. I kind of look at our ranch the same way. We have those who would rather give their vote to somebody else to vote for them. And I take that as an offense. I think that we should, as members, get involved. This is, we bought out here, I guess take it back to the beginning of our country, the Constitution. Those who come up with the Constitution, they were independent thinkers. That's what made this country great. It wasn't by, you do it for me, they did it for themselves. And that's why we're out here at this ranch. We love this place. And we love coming out here. I, myself, and my wife want to come out here and retire out here. So what goes on here is very important to us. I don't like to bury my head in the sand to the issues. I think members need to get involved. They need to understand the issues and what's going on here at the ranch and if it's important. And don't be scared to ask the hard questions. I'm here. You know, I'm willing to listen. I pride myself in being an independent thinker. I listen to people. I may sit back and don't say a whole lot, but believe me, I'm listening. I'm listening to what they're saying. And if it's important, I'll stand up. I'll stand up for your rights. We've had a lot of rights out here being infringed upon since many people bought out here. Some of these rights have been taken away or minimized. And that's not what we want. We want everybody out here to get what they paid for, everybody out here to have a voice and be heard, not let somebody else speak for them. If they need, if they have something to say, come to me. I'll listen, and I'll bring it to the board. I love this place, and I'll serve you well if you vote me. Thank you.
Any questions for Leland? Okay. On number three on the list, Phil Hall from St. George. I own two lots. I've been a member for about 20 years. My wife thinks I'm crazy for extending my efforts, because she knows, and I congratulate all the board members. You spend an awful lot of time, a lot of effort, fielding questions at board meetings, preparing things. So, but I've tried to make our board meetings organized. I've tried to run agendas and stick to them as best we can. I've tried to move along projects, and I've tried to incorporate the ideas of others so that just a good example with, as we had our discussion about what we needed to tweak about the water project, and we invited those members to be part of the committee. And so with a lot of effort, we made a monumental thing. We accomplished a monumental thing. And I do thank Barry for his input. So I would like to continue to see some of the efforts that I've put forward continue to have, be in a financially strong position, to have accountability for where the money's going, to have our board meetings and committees organized, and to just continue on. I'll later on tell you what I foresee for the ranch, but as far as running for the board, I think I have the ability to listen to all parties. I have my own opinions as well, of course, but I'm not, there is a board here. We have no one person can put forward their totally their agenda. I believe that's the way it should be. So I would appreciate your vote. Any questions for me?
Sammy?
Well, my name is Tamara Harden. I live in Cedar City. I have my husband, Chad, and I have three boys that we live with. I was nominated when I was a little stock, but I think it was my time, and my husband and I have a 4-year plan to live in Cedar. So our last year was in Broadway for 4 years, so I'm going to fly to Coop. I am very concerned about Black Canyon, and I feel like it's a little neglected, and we need to take more care of it. So that's one of my stands that I would like to see. I want to be someone who you trust. When you come to me with a question or an answer, or I will get your answer, as well as make sure that we're both in agreement of that you have the right answer. So once again, thanks for your time.
Any questions for Tim? Brad. Where's Brad?
Hiding over there.
Oh, Brad.
So, I'm Brad Hunt, and my history with the ranch goes back probably around 20 years or so. We used to run cows up in the meadow 20 years ago, and Dad bought a lot up in Broad Hollow. We fell in love with the ranch. We ended up selling that lot and moving to another ranch for quite a long time. It's been my dream to be back after, and my wife and I realized that dream of purchasing a lot out here a couple years ago. We've had dreams of retiring. We've done that now. It's been more and more time over time on the bench and more to build. Cows on the ranch with Dad. We experienced a tragedy on the ranch. Our son right here on the ranch. He loved the ranch as much as we did. Sometimes it's hard to be here when you reflect on some of the things that have happened here. But this is where I find the most joy. We have a deep commitment to experience and sharing what we've had and what we've felt with my children, with my grandchildren, with your children, with their grandchildren. I like the ranch and the experience that we experience here now. And that's what I don't have a burning desire to sit on one of those hot seats. I do have a burning desire to protect the ranch, care, and the western experience that we have the privilege of dying in. America today, especially in the West, there's something special here, and I feel an obligation to, I'm going to spend my life out here to do my part, to spend my time serving the board, and serving on the board, and serving the members of the staff that we have. So I'm the future of this ranch, and to serve the ranch and the experiences that we've all enjoyed. Thank you.
Brad? Elizabeth? Is Elizabeth there? Okay. That's Kennedy?
That's not here. That's
Kennedy's down here. Tammy Levitt?
I'm willing to help if that ever needs to be done. I am, however, going to withdraw from the election because a dear friend of mine is going through cancer and it's a hard time to battle for her. And I have to put some of my effort to help her and her family right now. I think there's enough good people that are running that you can do without me this year as an elected board member. Like I said, I'm willing to help. I'm glad to see things that I've brought up as suggestions have been put into play, whether it be the silent option or the map to show us where our road work is being done and things like that. And I think for the most part, good people out here and everybody wants to make it a better place. But like I said, I will listen to the elected.
Thank you. We'll look forward to you running another game. That is right, sir.
Wish you luck to your friend.
Mark. Mark?
My name is Mark Fowley. I've been there since 2011. I find this piece of heaven. I've always driven around and looked at different things like travel through life and thought of people who are lucky ones. I figure that I'm one of the lucky ones, you know. I believe in the sovereignty of our property. I believe that that's one of the most important things that needs to be protected. I believe that as a group of community, we need to have representation. I believe that being part of that representation is my duty. That's why I put my name in the hat. And I have management experience. I'm a welder. I have nothing to do with that. That's the same thing I'm doing.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are you from Reno?
Lake Reno. I guess you're from Reno.
My question is, with candidates and now that you're standing, what is your availability of attending meetings? Because your voice is important, your input is important, so attendance is important. How do you feel about attending?
Well, I wouldn't have put my name in the hat if I didn't understand the responsibility that I was undertaking. I am currently a member of the board of directors of Techsfield Incorporated. I understand what goes on with that responsibility. So, although logistics is something that needs to be considered, it is something that I will make.
Thank you.
I got to withdraw my question because I thought you were from Reno, and I was going to pick on you and ask if you're going to come down and help paint the cannon today when Vegas beats Reno in football.
You're
not from Reno, I can't ask you.
Go, it stays blue.
It stays blue? No.
Okay, great. We're staying right on time with our agenda. So we appreciate all those who have been willing to run as candidates for the board. And perhaps many of you have sent in your ballots. Some have not. Or if you were here and perhaps you've seen and hearing people, you decided to change your mind. And then Mariah, she has ballots that are a different color. So for the next, we'll say it's for the next, well, it's about 10 o'clock now. Keeping with our agenda, then, we will let you go to her if you want to change your mind and change your ballot. or if you didn't bring a ballot, or any of those kinds of circumstances, and get a ballot from her. Mariah, would you stand just a minute? Let's I'll just take a minute, yeah, to introduce you. Oh, and I just seen Bob there. Bob was late because he went and got the very last ballots that were mailed in, so that nobody's vote was missed just because they just arrived today, this morning. So thank you, Bob, and for Bob. So we're sure we have everything for today's mail. So, Linda Alderman, if you didn't know, her husband passed away this last year. She's taken on other responsibilities, or because of his passing, has to assume certain responsibilities of his work and whatnot. Linda has served us so well for so many years now. We will greatly miss her, but she felt it was time for her to move on. So she advised us of that as a board. She advised us of who might be able to do it, and we interviewed Mariah and found her to be really quite capable and found it to be a kind of a normal transition. Linda has agreed to do a 3 or 4 month full-on integration of training for Mariah and be there, of course, for questions that she may have trouble with. So when you'll be hearing Mariah's voice on the reservation when you call. Here's a young lady. This is who you'll be talking to. And so she has those ballots. So we will re-adjourn here, take a little potty break, whatever break you need, ballot break, mingle, talk, and then we will re-adjourn here at 10:15 and continue on with our... Barry?
Quick question. Where do we put our potluck food, and where do we bring our items for the auction?
Okay, Paul, you want to answer that?
The auction items are over here on the table, and we're going to do a live auction. I think it'll work better this year doing it that way. But check it out. Put stuff there. And
bread,
I think, are in here. Right? So, yeah. It's in there on the table.
All right. So by 10:15, all ballots have to be in. Please have a seat and turn in your ballots. Let's see, the Walshes came in a little late after we... Walshes are right... Where are the Walshes?
Right over there.
Right there, right? They're not hearing me. Get their attention for me. Walshes.
Walshes.
Hello.
Will you two stand up, please?
They go, why would we do?
They weren't here. They weren't here when we asked who had come from the farthest. And since you live 6 months or so out of the year all the way in Florida, we want to award you as well a choice of a cap or a shirt.
You got to give your hat back, Dan.
Yeah. No, Dan can keep his hat.
An extra small hat, but a triple X shirt.
Oh, my prize.
And did they choose what they wanted? Did they choose what they wanted? Okay.
So how many T-shirts and how many hats so I can write them off?
They get each they can get a hat or a T-shirt, so there'll be four total. Four total.
Four T-shirts? Four tees and one hat?
Three.
Okay. Gotta write them off. I'll count for every penny.
All right.
They are.
Mariah?
Yep.
This is the last call. Run up to Mariah if you have a vote you haven't turned in. This is the last moment. Otherwise, we can't count them. Mariah has a committee. So all those on that committee, please go with Mariah. And we'll anxiously be awaiting your count.
People are on your committee?
Yes. Becky, you can help me. I will be in there. May will be helping me. My husband Gray will be helping. Who else did we have? I'm not familiar with everybody.
Isn't Sunshine going to be here?
Sunshine's coming.
I know the board.
And I forgot to bring my
Sunshine. Nancy will be helping me. So I think you have the five.
Yep.
Okay, and we've I've proposed and allowed Dale Clarkson, since he holds a lot of sway and a lot of votes here, to have an observer. And so Tammy will be an observer for all of us, and Dale just to observe what's going on. She won't be involved in the vote counting, but she will be an observer, a neutral observer. Thank you, Tammy, for doing that. I hope it was great to see all of you conversing with each other and making acquaintances, and that's a lot about what this meeting's about, so good on you. And now we will have a little bit of accountability in the sense that the board members will report on their areas of responsibility this past year and what they've done. A lot of them have, if you didn't get a chance, make sure you see all our displays. I'm sure they'll be referring to them, where we've rated, what we've done, the financials. And again, I would tell you that the board has been real active this year and worked very hard. And it's taken a lot of time to get a lot of these things done and to hear everybody and to take the best ideas. And sometimes we've compromised, but we feel like we've come out away with a lot of good things. So we'll go down the list the way it's listed. And Jody, that means you're on the spot, number one here.
Okay. I'll start with the summary of the legal committee. We have spent a lot of time throughout the past year working with the ranch attorney and Barry Clarkson. Again, thank you so much, Barry. You're so instrumental in helping getting that done. And he was representing Dale on the new development water policies for basically the start of the development for Meadow Canyon Springs. We feel that a fair and reasonable documents are now in place to allow the members the means in which to obtain water to their properties, whether by drilling a well on their own lot, implementing a neighborhood water system, or developing a system from a spring.
Let me interrupt you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I notice we don't have by their names what they're over. So will you, just as your broad category.
Legal committee.
Financial.
Oh, and then financial, we already did that. Well, and then water resources will be next.
Okay, but I just wanted them to know that's okay.
That was it. We are really, really happy to be finally done with that project. And so now it's just basically, let's go. All right, moving on to the Water Resources Committee. This kind of dovetails into the legal. After the 2015 meeting, more members joined the Water Committee in hopes of preparing better verbiage that would be approved, because we had issues with the first round of verbiage being unclear. So shortly thereafter, the membership voted to approve the bylaw changes on the water development at the ranch, and hence the new policies were adopted into the bylaws earlier this year. The Clarksons applied for the permanent change of use of water to DWR off our water diligence water right claim of 1864. Once they received their approval from DWR, they submitted the formal plan with documentation to the board for approval. Approval was granted by the board, and Phil Hall, who's board president, signed the quit claim deed and the utility easement. The Clarksons are now able to proceed with the development of Meadow Canyon Springs to serve their 5 lots. In conclusion of my committee reports, I'd like to state that in an effort to regain my spare time back in life and to further enjoy my life up here, and my husband and I decided not to sell because he ended up falling back in love with it last month when he was here by himself.
Yay.
I have decided, thank you, I've decided I'm going to resign from the legal committee and the water committee effective immediately, but I will continue to serve as the treasurer and remain on the board for next year.
Thank you very much for all your effort.
Yeah, thank you. I want to play. Time to play. That's the close of my report.
Are there any questions for Jody? Jody has many times put hours and hours and hours into her efforts. And so it'll be hard to fill your shoes.
Weeks and months,
she said. Okay, Joe Bose, will you tell us what your responsibilities have been and give us a report on what's happened?
Hey, I'm maintenance of the cabins, maintenance of the equipment. What else?
Your wife?
Just and facility, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, before you ask, I wear the pants in my family. Right after she picks them out.
Well, that's one of us there. Thanks to the school teacher and my wife. And that pushes us later for the blaze as well. This next to fall. Brent Norma helping. We welded up a 5-foot crack to the greater scope to the last year, so it's still working. Luckily, it hasn't broken yet. I called around to a lot of people, and they say a crack that big and where it was, I should have bought an insert that would go inside of it and weld it all the way around. It could have been thousands and thousands of dollars. And being a certified welder, welding instructor for a lot of years. I did it myself with them helping me, and so far it's holding up, so we've saved quite a bit of money there. The grader now is working good. The backhoe is doing a good job putting in culverts, putting in cattle guards. Okay. Can you tell us just a little bit about that backhoe, why we thought it was such a good deal? Well, the average, I get a lot of calls.
To have a backhoe brought up here could be anywhere from $150 to $300 just for delivery. It could be as much as anywhere from $100 to $150 an hour just to use it. So you have the ability to buy one for the budget. Thanks to Jody and everybody working hard, they cut a lot of corners and we take cash for the backhoe, and now it's doing a lot of good jobs for us, saving a lot of things all over the ranch. We've got over $100 left on it already, so technically it's almost a third pay for it. We've only had it since April 18th. So the rest of this year and all of next year, within a year and 2.5 years, it'll be paid for as far as the number of dollars that we're saving for the amount of jobs that it can do for us. We even used it up at cabin number 3. We replaced the staircase completely, and we dug out the side with Paul and made the water go two different directions around there so it won't go into the cabin and come up from the bottom. The next project is going to be we want to put a rain gutter on cabin 3 to also prevent some of the water from avalanching off the roof and damaging the underneath side of that. So a lot of work's gone into it. Thanks to Brent Fulmer again. We located a fire truck.
$2,500.
$2,500. Between Paul and Brent, keeping it up to get up to speed. Gasoline engine for the pump. We can carry 5 gallons of water. It's completely mobile. We can go anywhere we want and at least slow some of the fires down that do start in our neighborhood.
Yeah. That $2,500, a number of us donated the money. The rest did not come out of our budget. We had donations from those concerned about fire, and that's
all about it. We used for putting a fire out of the building that we have here, so we can protect ourselves because there's no fire hydrants close enough to get us any help, and the nearest fire truck is an hour away from Canad, so this thing can jump in really quick. And Brent even made the suggestion, a few of us have water for you, and try to keep a map full at least, so if something happens, we can bring water down and top things off and keep going. So we've got some good plans going for fire protection that's better than doing nothing, or at least trying. Of course, we see it's going to stop the fire, but we should be able to slow most of it down. Mattresses, we have put in a budget for replacing mattresses. They're back to Paul and Nancy. They come up with 28 complete queen sets for free from a local place in town. And John pulled a tab off one of the old mattresses. And it was dated, what,
1992.
So,
that was another mattress.
In 2005, I was working at the Muscle Hotel, and remember what year that was, huh?
2005.
I donated 25 mattresses at the Luxor Hotel that we have. But they're worn out now, so now we've got new ones again, so 6 months old. Some of them are 6 months old, half of them. So we've done a real good job.
I'm
based now, and we're in good shape.
What was that?
Just so you know, there's a Holiday Inn here in Canad.
them, if it isn't any business, Duncan, you see, they're changing out their mattresses. They're only 6 months old. It's still pretty darn good. And so if you have a chance to thank them, do that. The Holiday Inn here in Kanab.
So, what we've got here is the back there, like I said, starting with me. Grader is saving us a bunch. We've got the Kubota with Fish with air conditioning on it, so that works now. They can use the Kubota in the summertime and use some brush hogging and other stuff so they have some air conditioning. And I found the parts for it on the internet to save us some money. The compressor was over $500. I said, what'd you find it for, $190? So he saved us enough money to get the thing working again. The staircase, I had a couple estimates on that staircase on cabin 3. There was over $3,000 there to do the cabin stairs and the deck. Well, I got all the material, did the work himself. Under $900, so we saved quite a bit of money fixing that. And then with the backhoe, because it's working, Paul had this red gravel delivered, and we put it around cabins 1, 2, 3, and 4. So now when you pull up and park, you got the red gravel. You don't have to walk through mud to get to the cabin, so you can keep it a little cleaner, which works out quite well. And we put these cobalt floor in cabin 2, so that's looking really good. And Paul got right through the cabin, the garden cabin, painted inside, some other ones painted inside, and the fill work on the sheetrock. So we're coming along pretty good. Like I said, we got 28 sets of mattresses, and what else we got? And the locks. We bought high-quality deco locks for all the cabins, and my son works for Mandalay Bay in Vegas, and we had locksmith there. Offered to come up here and install all the locks for free for a week's stay at the cabin. So there's no labor charge for putting any of these locks in. And they're high quality as far as getting the keys duplicated. They have to be ordered special through the same company. So we feel comfortable with giving a little more security to people when you lock up your place. And go to Bryce Canyon or someplace, you can find the red place is locked and you're in good shape. Anybody got any questions? Yeah, if you lose the fee, I think they got it set up with a $100 charge because we have to have the key, that lock recoded. We want to keep everybody safe. So if you lose the key to whatever cabin you were in, it'll be replaced and you'll be charged $100. And the new key will be made and the lock will be replaced. And Paul can do it because he's had it done to where the locks can be done by ourselves and we don't need a lock.
How many keys do you get originally when you get the lock?
One for each cabin.
No, that's people.
Yeah. We got, I think, three for the ranch got three. One can go to the customer, or the lot owner. One that stays with the ranch, and then one secured someplace in the lock.
You didn't say we also got a grizzly.
Oh, we got a grizzly. Yeah, late last year, we bought a picture of it. So we bought a grizzly so we can now use the backhoe to screen some of our own material. We're in the process of looking for a dump truck, so if we do that, we can be pretty self-sufficient.
And with all of the equipment that we've gotten, we want it to be made available to members of the ranch. So there is a list of individuals who can operate this equipment. There is a policy that's been put forward for all of you to understand how you can rent it and how it can be used for your lot. So there is a specific equipment rental policy that we're asking that you follow. And because now that we can screen an amount of gravel to be used, there's also the updated gravel pit policy. So what this board has done was put things in together so that the members know how to be progressive and how to make the ranch work for you. So you might want to look at those two items over there, the policies, two of them, that will assist you.
Those things are posted on our website.
On the internet.
They're in under the rules and regs, and specifically. And then if you have questions, Sure, ask any of us or Paul, the manager here. But the idea is that you can hire one of these authorized operators of the equipment at so much an hour, and you can rent the equipment so much an hour, a good deal compared to renting one from town and everything, having to haul things out. There are other people on the ranch that have some equipment. You can also talk with them, but this is available to you as members under these certain conditions so that we make sure our equipment is not ruined or, you know, we have an operator that knows what he's doing.
Like I said, the hours we have on it, the amount of people charge, we're probably close to saving $12,000 in other people who are hired to do our work for us. You have a question?
No, I had some numbers since I'm the number girl. We spent $23,500 on that backhoe.
Yeah.
$23,500. Just by counting the hours that Paul's put into it already, with going based on $150 an hour, which is pretty typical, we're already over $15,000. We're at $15,000 paid for that. So we have very little to go, and that's not including the $300 to run that backhoe in and out from town. So we're almost paid for.
But when they say paid for, we didn't buy it on time or anything.
No.
We paid cash for it.
Out of savings.
Out of our savings of what we spent last year being prudent, and we had enough money to do that. So,
I think at $100 an hour, it's $10,000 we've saved on not hiring out. But I think the biggest thing is preventative maintenance, going through and cleaning culverts out before the rains come. If they're not cleaned out, the road washes out, and it costs three times as much to get it all fixed. So the ultimate savings is a lot bigger than that original number.
Time alone.
That makes a big difference sometimes, so that things don't get worse with another rainstorm.
And the Grizzly also, if somebody wants to use it, we have a policy. I think it was $25 for a half a day and $50 for the whole day. You can use the Grizzly. If you damage it, then of course you have to pay to repair it.
I was going to say, a lot of people might not know what a grizzly is.
That's for screening the big rocks out of the dirt, so you can use it for traveling.
Yes, as you drive past there, you'll see it, and it's for screening.
It's at the bottom
over
of
the BLM.
No, it's over on the,
over here at the bottom
gravel
pit. The minute you go down the hill, it's on the right, where our gravel is.
All that gravel was
great. So all that gravel, that pile of gravel you see was... That and more, there was a bigger pile that's been screened through that grizzly. Without that, you got big rocks, big boulders, some road base. So that way you have road base of a consistent size.
So the gravel that made, we used Brad Pierce's company to haul some gravel there through a portion of the burn road over here. And use our equipment to keep the price down, and that's going to help all the way around for everybody. So it's available. Any questions?
Let's give a big round of applause to Joe. Amy.
My areas of responsibility were the agriculture and wildlife. I work in conjunction with Paul. He keeps me informed on areas of the ranch, especially in the agriculture where we have the thistle outbreaks and stuff that needs to be sprayed to keep that down. Because thistle puts out so many seeds, it can be 90 years before you get it eradicated that year. So that's just, it's an important plant that we have to stay on top of. And encourage any of you that have it on your lots to be diligent in treating it. Cutting it down, because once it gets established, it's not good for anything. It's bad for the cows. It's bad for, I don't know, anything. Another thing that we've done over the last year was we allowed two beekeepers to come on our property and set up their operations. We felt that they put a pretty good presentation up, and that it's good for our environment to have bees, and that they're initially, they were in an area that was not good, and working with Paul and him finding an area that was maybe out of sight and out of the way, is able to place these bees and not have any incidences that I know of or have heard of.
I don't think anybody knows where the bees are. So it's perfect.
And by the way, the arrangement was they're paying us for the opportunity to do that with honey. And one of them, we got how many jars?
16.
16 bottles of honey, and they were sold. The members bought them fast, so they're gone, and we raised a couple hundred dollars just the sale of honey. So our own honey. Keep in touch with Paul if you want to know when it comes in, and you want some of Deer Springs Ranch honey, because it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Lonnie Stewart. One's up, I think, my lot 74 area, and one's over by that spring.
Leaf Spring.
Yeah. Leaf Spring. So they're quite far apart, so they won't hear that.
The ranch owns some lots. We own them in common. 7475 is up the Crawford way, and they're set way at the back, right? It's hard. If you're looking, you'll see them, but they're not close to the road. They're not bothering anybody, and I'm sure all the plants love it, and we're getting some honey. So.
It's actually it's in a beautiful spot. I've driven past it a couple of times, and it's like a small meadow, and there's all these flowers.
Plenty of water.
It must make the bees really happy, and I'm all for it.
Yes.
Wait one second. There are certain lots like lot number 1 and 74, 75.
So it's just Deer Springs Ranch you're talking about.
Yes. Those were set aside as common areas for the ranch members. We've not developed them. We've had talk of some things we might do. There's a little pond by the 74 and 75. And it's by where you can get onto the trail right in there. It's not the Grandview Trail. What's that trail called? Great Western Trail head is up in there, and an old cabin. If you haven't been up there, an old cabin from a historic cabin that's kind of crumbled down. It was
Benjamin Hamblin.
1875. So we probably ought to clear maybe that meadow just a little more. People could, we talked about having camping regulations. If you wanted to not stay and your lot's not developed and you wanted a place to camp, that might be a possibility. These are things we've talked about. I'm sorry, I'm kind of out of step here, but I think you're interested, like lot 1 by Val Fram, different uses there. Anyway, so the ranch does have, I think there's 4 or 5 of those kind of lots. I just can't remember all the numbers right now. Yes.
Offered to members.
Oh, yes. Yes, the one beekeeper in particular, for our cooperation with him, he's eager. If you want to learn how to have a beehive of your own, and there are certain stipulations the board has set about away from roads and other people, he's willing to train you. He's willing to instruct you, show you, help you, or I let you come and help. With his bees from time to time. So we can get you that number if you have an interest in bees.
Another thing that, along with the help of my wife, we are dedicated hunters here in the state of Utah, and in conjunction with the Wildlife Department, have gotten approved to do some fireline cutting along properties that border BLM. Offer that to dedicated hunters to come in with their chainsaws and cut a 30-foot path.
Tell them what a dedicated hunter is. What does it have to do to be a dedicated
hunter? A dedicated hunter is where you can hunt 3 years and take 2 animals in 3 years. But the fishing game requires you to put in, I believe it is, 8 or 9 hours per each year.
That doesn't mean they would hunt on your property, but if they do so, if you border the National Forest, they'll clear 20 feet into the National Forest and 20 feet into your lot. It doesn't mean clearing, it means limbing the trees up and taking out the fuel for fire. So that will help with your protecting your property. So some of us border along the national forest, and these guys, Leland has a list of people, and we have a list of some right now, who would like to do that. They would like to qualify for their hunting, and they can come and do this service.
They've actually got somewhere to do it.
They need somewhere to do it, and so if you would like...
It's just an added bonus for those who border the BLM, and it helps the wildlife out, and it helps us, and if there's a forest fire, it doesn't run through. So that's kind of some of the stuff. On the fall, working on the fencing areas that need to be controlled.
Thank you.
They used to do that. It all goes into almost like a...
Goes into a pool.
Yeah, a pool, and they have people to bid on those tags, and that's divided out depending on how many AUMs the ranch has in each area. They have a formula, and then
how
they
much
get a percentage of that money every year.
So,
yeah, they sell them, and we get the cash.
Yeah. So we made $7,900 last year from that pool and the monies that we got. $8,500.
Yay!
And Larry kind of heads that and keeps an eye on that, so thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Just kind of clarification, the dedicated hunter program, some of you are kind of worried about, that has nothing to do with hunting your property. The dedicated hunter program that Leland and many others participate in is a program that allows hunters, in the state of Utah, if you want to hunt, you've got to put in for the draw. And the chances of you drawing are very, very slim. If you choose to become a dedicated state allows you to put in service hours every year, and they will give you the tags to hunt the archery season, the muzzleloader season, and the rifle season for 3 years. In those 9 hunts, it's an opportunity to hunt, but you can only harvest 2 animals in 9 seasons.
They don't hunt on.
But you don't hunt on the property. I mean,
yeah,
they,
it
they
just gives them somewhere to work
anywhere,
off.
Anywhere in the state.
They have to be approved projects through
right.
The fishing game. You can't just go out and do it and say, hey, I've done my hours.
What he's done is go with the coordinators to say, hey, we have some potential areas that could be offered to dedicated hunters. They're not just going to come out here and start cutting coaching. It would be organized by the coordinator to say, okay, on July 2nd, or whatever that Saturday is, those that want to sign up for the dedicated hunter program, we've got a project. You can go work on the water project. Here's the map, here's where you're
going to
be, and they would be with somebody.
Fishing Game put me in charge of this area, so they need to call me. Contact. That's it.
Do you have any information on the long events out here? In the past, I know there's been permits issued, there's an outfitter in town.
Larry probably knows more about the lion hunts than I do.
The lion hunts in this area, there are 2 ways. People can put in for a draw for a lion hunt, or you can participate in a harvest objective. The Ponsonant unit has a harvest objective of a certain number of cougars every year to keep it in check. It's a 2-2 for the Ponsonant unit. So cougars are one thing that you really can't. They go or what they do. No one really should be hunting on the ranch without some contact or connection.
And by the way, we've designated Larry as that hunting expert, and to my knowledge, you're still willing to do that, right?
Clint Meekum also works for the fishing game, but he's one of the. I think he and his brother probably do most of the mountain lion hunting on this entire unit. They're originally from Tropic area, but Clint Meekum travels through here quite a bit in his DNR work. But he does, he's been through monitoring, tracking, collaring bears and mountain lions. And then Jeff Allen is another outfit out of town that's been through a time or two. And usually if he's ever coming this way with a hogs lost a time or two, and so you may come across a lost hound dog. Usually they have a collar and a name tag.
Big old antenna.
Antenna, yeah.
Larry, I wish you would tell your experience with the mountain lion and the fact that we found a Dale found a dead one out by cabin number one, I think. And so we do have mountain lions in the area. I've seen a bear and a fox and other wildlife. I would appreciate it if we start having a list or whatever. When someone sees something here, that they report to Nancy and Paul or someone, so we know kind of the transition. I know they found a bear down at the mouth of Johnson Canyon and also a cougar that was emaciated. So if we can help with those, I personally would prefer no mountain lions on the ranch, but I think we need to report those things. But Larry, would you?
Well, I have to disagree with you just simply because whether you realize it or not, there are dozens of mountain lions.
Yeah, there are lots of dozens
of bears on Deer Springs Ranch and in and around the forest.
I didn't want to hear that.
So, I mean, you can't just be naive and think, oh, if somebody sees a mountain lion, call and report the call so he can tell everybody we can be safe. There are mountain lions today on Deer Springs Ranch, more than a dozen.
Yeah.
There are black bear on the ranch today, seven that I know of personally today.
My lot borders 50 acres at the top. I've stood on the fence and seen bears walk by. We hear mountain lions and we see tracks and we see where they've drugged deer. They're very active. They're all around us. That's why I have an 8.5-foot fence all around my property to keep my 32 grandkids safe.
You may go for years and years wanting to see a cougar and never seeing it, and you may not want to see one, and you might see four or five. I've been around them. Nathan Malay, Shannon's brother, had one while he was cleaning his container over at Podunk. Grabbed his German Shepherd dog, and his two children were right there. Grabbed his dog and tried to back it off. It could have grabbed his daughter. So you got to be aware, you know, especially with the bears. Don't leave food out or around. Don't go out of your cabin and barbecue and then leave the smell of steaks on the grill and steaks on your door, or you may have the Arbor-Delani situation where the bear follows you into the cabin. And
quite honestly, we are in their home.
We're there, yes.
We are in their territory, so we have to just be there.
I understand that.
But we have on their website, if you call Vance, if you have a picture or want a story, we have a place to post that. And it hasn't been used very much as of late. We have pictures there. So take pictures of fishing or pictures of wildlife and send them to, where's Vance? Vance, can you send them to you, those pictures?
We'll
post it. So we have that way. We better move on and not worry about the bears right now. So let's thank Leland for a job well done.
Thank you.
John.
Hey. I'm John Harrison. One of my responsibilities is the roads.
John, speaking of responsibilities,
hey, sit down off the table.
Count votes.
He's spying in the window.
He's spying on the vote, John. Anyway, one of my responsibilities are the roads. I have a map here. You see all these blue lines here? This is the roads that we have that Paul has run over this year with the grader. Some of them at least three times. But he's done a lot of grading up over in the slide area here. And by looking at it, we're close to 50% in there of the slide area. We've come on up on the pipeline. Graded all these roads from the gate over here to the back gate all Coral Cliffs Road?
I don't know the road.
Okay, well, I think it's Coral something. But he's gone up in there, and we've gone out here into the Broad Hollow and taken off on into Flag Canyon area. And he's, as you can see, he's come back up in here, in this area over here by, well, that's the Broad Hollow area. And also, we've gone up here into Old Barn Road, and with the help of Leland's son and Gary, we put about
Brad.
He's corrected me 15 times on this when we were talking yesterday, but I'm bad on names. Sometimes I forget mine. Anyway. But about 1,500 feet of gravel up there that Barry has hauled up there and Paul has graded. Leland was downloading the trucks with our tractor, with our new backhoe. He loaded all the trucks. I do believe he screened a scoop of gravel down there as well. So that road is really needed that. It's really in good shape right now. And by the way, we screened about 1,000 yards, and you'll see about 500 yards out there by the gravel pit right now. It's stacked up there. We screened 1,000 yards, and we used about 50%, about 500 yards on that road. So, and we got a, because we had our own grizzly there, and we had an outside contractor come in. North Church came in, and we managed to screen all that 1,000 yards of gravel and move tons of gravel that was left there that had been where they screened before when we had an outside contractor screening there that needed to be moved. We moved all of that and widened the road instead of piling up a bunch of big boulders over there that we needed to get rid of. We had a lot of over there. Able to widen that road and use that in the road to make that area wider. But at the same time, at some point on that hill over there, we have to reclaim it. And so we decided to reclaim as little as we go. And so if you take a look at it, now it's not a big, just a big sheer cliff up there. It's been topped off and graded on top. We've made a road to go up so we can use a tractor to screen a little more material in there. But we got that 1,000 yards in there for $4,850 done. And, I mean, $3,850 we spent on that. I had a budget of about $4,000, and so we went shy of that, $150. But I thought that was a real bargain. That's a pretty cheap for that amount of gravel and that amount of work. So we got that, and then we have a pile now that we got for other projects. We got some other projects that's needed. And also, I'd like to thank the PODOC people. They got together and organized repairing this road here in the PODOC. It was in bad shape. Had the deep dent. Rust in that thing, you can hardly drive. We are Leland and Kathy head this up, and her sister, and Randy, yes. I forget names again. But anyway, they headed that up. They brought out two dump trucks. This time was donated with dump trucks. That was from family. And we had two and a dump trailer, and we had two skid steers. We brought our backhoe up there, and it loaded many, many, many yards for at least 12 hours. We worked on that, loading that to take down on the road and resurface the road. We also had our grader up there, Paul Rudd, the grader, and we had another gentleman there with a real expert on running the backhoe. We got a lot of work done that day.
This is an example. If you have a project in your area or a great need, you want to move things along, this is an example of cooperation with ranch and our own equipment. We provided some money for the diesel for those machines. But taking initiative in your own area goes a long way. If you've been up the Crawford Way, I did a whole lot of stuff up that way. Dale's done a whole lot of... And what's his name over there? Larry. Done a whole lot over their way. But that's how you can help or speed up by cooperating, getting your neighbors together, and getting organized. It works very, very well.
Also, during that same. An awful lot of, I mean, believe it, his son. Yeah, his son spread an awful lot of, cinder over there in the Slack Canyon, I guess.
During that same time, our grader, when we just bought, blew a hydraulic hose. Under the backhoe blew a hydraulic hose. Paul went up there, took the hose off, took it to town. What'd you pay, $22 for the hose? $22 for the hose, came back, put it on, and had it running the next day. If we'd have had to call somebody out, I guarantee you, at $85 an hour, making four trips, it'd cost us a minimum of $500. We're into it, $22, thanks to Paul's work.
We had a kickstart
him to do it,
yeah.
But he did it.
It was like
15 gallons.
Yeah. And that could happen. It didn't matter who's driving. The hose was just bad and it blew. And, but we were able to do it. But I'm thankful for that kind of, if I'm in charge of roads, that eases me from what I have to watch over when a community gets together. We call that a little community over there. We got a slide community, and we got a fold out community. We got a broad hollow community that has Brent Joe over there, I think. and they kind of maintain their stuff too over there. But this could be done more, and it can save us money, and there's a lot of areas that can be worked. But, yes.
You were talking about how the gravel pit has been taken down. There's a picture over there that actually shows.
Yeah, with the track hole on it.
How that hill has been taken down a little bit to make it safer. You see that big one in the middle?
Yeah, I see that. It's right here. The hill looks a whole lot better now than it did a few months ago. And so, anyway, we saved a good amount of money by doing that and doing a lot of work ourselves. Back over in the cold dock area over here, you see some green areas there, some green spots. We had one bad area there where there was a water line running through, and it was kind of on a curve. And it just, that area just deteriorated away. It's caved in before. And we went over there, and because we had a backhoe, we were placing rocks and boulders in some strategic areas. We're not finished. Work into that. And we laid down some gravel there that we kind of sloped the water away from that so it wouldn't jump down into there and wash it down more. Because we had the backhoe, we were able to do that. Up here there was a culvert that was just absolutely plugged. Paul went up there and dug that out and saved that culvert from a future problem. We had this road down in the lower part here. It's an area that just trapped water. Water came in there, and as fast as you could fix it, it would mess it up. So what we did is the guys went in there and with a couple of skid steers and trenched the water away to take it away from the road and the water come down and take it back out into the grazing. I think it was last week or cow up there. Now, granted, the cow this wasn't on our property or anything, but the water that come down in the podunk that is being used by the people in the podunk originates in that area. We needed to get that cow out of there because all it's going to do is contaminate the water. And so Paul went up there and took care of that. We're not probably never be free of outside contractors, but because we have equipment here, we can take care of immediate things and save us some immediate money. And because, you know, the guys, the contractors, you're not their only customer. They got other people to take care of. Yes.
Well, and then we do have harvesting mineral rights for gravel, right?
Yes, we do. We have that, and we use that off of our ranch. Paul did, by the way, go up to the safety tractor and spent a couple of days digging. Larry's done it in the past, too, up there between the National Forest and the Red Reservoir up there. That gets plugged up and coming down into the forest, and then the water just goes over the road and just messes things up, and that happened last year, and it cost us some money to get $5,000 to get it out of the seed up to do some work, but we didn't have equipment. I'll have that, but yes.
I would personally like to say thank you for all the hard work the folks have done on flood painting.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it. Okay, thank you. The board appreciates that very much. And that gravel coming down from the National Forest, it turns out that when we dig it out, it's pre-classified material. It's piled up there, and we have used some of it to take place. So that material can be used. It's already pre-classified. It has some larger rocks in it, but mostly pretty good. Pretty good. It can be used. I think Larry had to use some of it. Larry Clark had to use some of it down by the fencing down by the spring area there at one time in Maple Road, I believe. Didn't you, Larry? So we got an automatic classifying machine. All the National Forest up there. But anyway, any questions? Yes.
By accident, I was able to drive a little further east than I expected and north on the road to Cannonville.
Mm-hmm.
And so from where you turn onto the dirt road that's in Kane County, that was pretty bad coming in. You drive over into Garfield County. That road is the most beautiful road I've ever seen in my life for a dirt road.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do dirt roads. And so has anything been done to get the county to do more?
Well, I haven't tried. But I will say this. You just made me think of something that I forgot about. We had a flood over here, and everything was cut off at Lake Wash. Okay, now that's a county road. Technically, we're not supposed to do anything for a county road. But we had people over there that needed to get through. Paul didn't go over. Yeah. Paul did take our backhoe over there. Did take our backhoe over there and clear Lake Wash enough. Get people through. Some of our people, so some other people. And there again, we had a backhoe so we can do it. I'm finished. I just want to thank this man. Our other board member, Robert Musco, he's not here today. His family situation, he's changed a little. And he would communicate with us. He was in charge of roads for a while, but just wasn't able to be here. John lives here during the summer. And also, another thing that John's done for us, we had Linda as kind of the coordinator of what Paul and Nancy did for a few years. And we changed that responsibility because John was here and willing. And so John has been like the foreman for us because a lot of it involves roads, as so Paul and Nancy have been accountable him and John to us and the board giving direction. And John has spent a lot of his own money for a lot of gas, I'll tell you. He travels around and checks on things and helps point Paul into what the board thinks are areas that we need to have concerns with and things to do. And so John has carried a yeoman's amount of weight on his shoulders this year.
Thank you.
One final thing. I have a goal to try to get all of these branch roads done. That's my goal. I just need money, and I can use something.
And a dump truck.
And a dump truck.
So I'll have you notice. See, well, that's a lot of work. The green, the backhoes, and everything. And John, you haven't been up to Crawford. That's where I live.
You're next.
Okay.
I didn't want to show favoritism to the president.
I just want to dovetail on the thanks and appreciation for these guys. I mean, I was up here last month for the meeting. I think it rained every day but one day when I was here. And I'm sitting in my cabin with my comfy jammies on and my comfy robe on. And Brent is on the phone with Vance and Brent's trucking up the hill with Bob Becker, and they're up there getting our Wi-Fi working. We don't have Wi-Fi for a few days. They're out there in the rain doing this. I hear on the radio, John's over there with Paul, and they're working on the roads with John, and then Leland and the gang, and there's just all these dudes across the ranch are just taking care of us, and I'm, like, so thankful for them. I think we need to start an official dude day, which we tried to do last month, but we kept getting rained out. But I just can't thank these guys enough for making this all happen for us. And this is the hardest working board I've ever sat on at Deer Springs Ranch. And I just got to give them a big hand. What a dude!
Okay, we're just about done. We've had a new board member this year who's really a man for detail and has helped us a lot. And I'll let him report on his area.
Their responsibility has been the web and the internet and communications and the reservations. I'm not sure if you're all aware, but we do have radios available in the mercantile. They're all out. Okay, never mind. But we usually buy those radios and then we program them to all the channels of the ranch. And that's available for you to obtain so you can communicate if you're ever out to stop or something. A hold of Paul or Nancy or someone else on the ranch that's here all the time. We also have some instructions that Bob has given us about how to use the channels on the radio. Vance and I have been working on the website, trying to get it up, and we've been dealing with some issues we had with some of HughesNet. Prices increased this year. GoDaddy web hosting prices went up a little bit because we had to pay extra annual maintenance fees. We're looking at other options to see what we can do to keep bring those costs back down. We've also been looking at the reservation process to see how we can streamline that, make it more smooth for both members and for the ranch secretaries so that there's not a lot of manual time being taken place and dealing with things behind the scenes that no one knows about, that Linda did for years, that we really need to give her a lot of thanks whenever we see her, that she took care of things that we never even knew she was doing all by hand so that it could be a very smooth reservation process. I also wanted to thank the board and second Jody's comments about being the hardest working board. I watched this year and felt that this year was probably the most productive I've seen of the ranch, where I've seen things happen in every area of responsibility, and it just went above and beyond. I wanted to personally thank Jody for her efforts on the legal and the water committee and the finance. Taking care of those accounts is just a big job. Bill for his efforts, keeping us all corralled and in the right direction, and Leland for his efforts, but again, all that he's done. John and Paul for their efforts on the roads have been just amazing, keeping things in track. And just some of the things that have been happening that you probably don't even see. They're behind them, and it's just been very wonderful to see all these things that have happened that you need to have happen. They've been taken care of this year. And again, Joe and his efforts on the cabins and other facilities, it's just been wonderful to see all the things that have happened this year. Thank you.
Good year, huh?
Yes.
Thank you.
I do have.
Put that up. Jeff made this great flow chart. There's like 50 steps involved in making a reservation here. And you can just put it up there somewhere. But
I'll put it up here behind.
If you get a chance, go take a look at it.
It's astonishing.
It is. Nobody's ever walked it. We all know how it works. But nobody's ever walked it through before. You look at it, it's like,
well, it's miserable.
So I'll get another round of applause for Jeff here.
The inlet, actually we have two
that's
types
like,
of...
Is that for all of our cabins?
What's that for? It's actually, we have the fuse net, which takes care of the satellite, get the inlet into it. So we have the wireless network. And then we also have the web hosting costs for the DSROA.org website. So that's two areas.
You might want to be aware that an individual that is buying not at your screen, but has now put in a repeater, I think it's costing $2,000 to get reception at Juniper Hills. I don't know whether we can bounce off of that or whether that might be something.
Is that for radio or is that for phone?
Reception party.
Is that radio or phone?
Phone.
I can't find that flow chart. I'll have to find it and I'll put it up.
Okay, last but not least, Paul's not a board member, but Paul is, as you know, Paul and Nancy very well. It's been great to have a welcome face and a nice atmosphere here at headquarters and all the work that they do. Again, we don't know of all the things they have to do. It's quite a job. So, Paul, we'd like to have you give us your ranch manager's report.
Thank you. This is where the rubber meets the road. Right here. Everybody's got ideas. Everybody's got suggestions. These guys make it happen.
Well, I think this year has been really good. Having a little direction goes along. In the past, it's not that we haven't had direction. We kind of had to find our own direction. But it's really nice to have a board that kind of sees what needs to happen as far as what the membership wants in their certain areas of responsibility. And it's really good. I'd like to give myself, the board, a round of applause. I sure appreciate that. It has been a busy year. I have my report, but it kind of just mirrors kind of what they've reported already. But, Nancy and I kind of put our heart and soul into the ranch and kind of the things that you guys want to see at the ranch. And we see what you want. We try and fix things up. But, the cabins are a big area. It's kind of a big undertaking. 10 cabins and all of their flaws and all of their needs. This year, early spring, we were directed by the board to kind of focus, put more of attention on the cabins and kind of just the little things. We painted the outsides of the cabins. We had some people work on the cabins as far as painting the outside. So all of the cabins up last year were painted by a member. So, the major things are done. Structurally, they're good. The new roofs were donated, I think, by the Turleys. So we started looking at the inside, and, I can say, physically they're good, but we had some more eyes come in and say, hey, you might want to just touch this up and touch that up. So we started going in and just kind of touching things up and finishing some things that had been started in, 10 years ago. So just kind of finishing things up. I don't know if anybody's been up to Cabin 3. I know some of you have, but I suggest you guys go up to Cabin 3. That stairway and deck have been kind of decrepit for at least 10 years, from what I hear. Redoing that, kind of a safety issue. So, you know, with that deck, the walkway makes it a little easier to access that cabin. I started putting rock on the cabin, and I said, hey, you know what? That sure looks nice. Let's do this to some more cabins. So I had another couple truckloads delivered and started putting rock around all the upper cabins. And what it's done is that kind of keeps the dust down. And it also, when you get out, it rains up here. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. Just a little bit. But you know, it creates a lot of mud, and you start tracking it in, and it makes it a little bit work for you guys to clean it up at the end of the day and at the end of your stay. So we're hoping that's going to help. Let's see. I wrote some notes down. So paint the inside of the cabins, you know, I think is a nice touch. I don't know. They haven't been painted since I've been here. We've been here for 8 years. So we're starting to kind of put a fresh new look on the cabins on the inside. You know, in the past, we've got new refrigerators, new hot water heaters, new furniture. I think it's time, you know, we do that final touch. And nobody likes to paint. I put it off as long as I can, but I've been directed by the board to do it. And I think it's nice. I think you'll enjoy it. It's kind of a fresh new look. We did buy a carpet shampooer this year, and that's kind of another new touch. There's no power up here, so really all you can do is sweep what you can. Nancy does come through with a quarter vacuum, but carpets were getting kind of ripe, so we're starting to stand through the carpets. Something else we did this year, you know, there's been a lot of talk on the propane use and the cost of propane and the dangers of some people and the gas lights. So what we've done, we started to get some cheap little LED lights, and they've really kind of taken fire. You know, you push the button, the light comes on. The problem we're having is, you know, the cost of batteries versus the cost of propane. So I would suggest, you know, we could provide the light, but if you come up and stay in a cabin, you know, bring a couple batteries with you and stick them in the drawer.
So what's the size?
AAA and AA. Yeah. So mattresses. I know there's been talk about mattresses for the last year, and I've made an agreement with a friend of mine who manages the Holiday. I've been waiting. I told the board months ago that they're coming, and so just waiting on the availability of these mattresses. And I kept telling the board next month, well, you know, with budget issues, with the Holiday Inn, it's been postponed. And so finally, the day came, and I was there with my trailer at 7 in the morning, and we unloaded mattresses. Got 28 sets. I think it was raining when it happened, so I talked to the board, and they agreed that renting a storage unit in town for a few days just to store them and start bringing them out. And, last week, brought them in, and so all the lower cabins have new mattresses. And I'll tell you, there's a reason why they're doubled upstairs in cabin 7 and 8. You can't fit a queen size mattress up this stairway. So, but we ended up taking them up over the deck upstairs. A lot of you know, I'm glad you guys noticed the work out in Slide. With the help of Larry and some cinders, I think there's a good portion of the road that is pretty stable when it rains. But myself graded quite a bit of road out in Slide, a lot of areas that just needed some work, a lot of areas that have been neglected for years. There's a section of road that the county maintains. And they're not there as much as I'd like them to, and probably like you guys. So I graded it myself twice and did some ditching, and I, you know, from what I hear, it's held up really good. So you know, we do have the responsibility to maintain these roads, and if we don't maintain them, I think they get taken from us. Is that correct? lot of this work being done. I fixed the grader. There's a way to angle the blade and to do some ditching, and I fixed it to a point where I feel comfortable with that big grader to be able to go through and do some ditching. And ditching kind of saves a lot of, you know, having to go back and fix the road because it sheds the water off more. So things are getting a little better there. If you notice all the green areas, I just wanted to show where the backhoe had been this year since April 18th. And you can see it's been over quite a bit of the ranch. A lot of culverts have been cleaned out, which prevents future, you know, running over the water. And, you know, last year we had a road, our major road, Meadow Canyon, almost washed out completely. And, you know, having the equipment here, having the backhoe here, you know, there's been times where I didn't have anything to do at 9 o'clock at night, and I'm bored, so I just went out and cleaned up the culverts just around here, just because I had it there. So the availability of it is pretty great. Between ditches, up at the north end of the ranch, I think John mentioned, you know, there's a lot of gravel, there's truckloads of gravel coming out of the forest that we can generate by cleaning that out that we've had to pay in the past. The silt pond, by Half Moon Reservoir. I don't know if you guys are aware of where that is. Last year we spent quite a deal of money getting that cleaned out. And I think it doesn't need to be cleaned out as much, but if there's a backhoe there after it rains, you just take a couple scoops out, and it just allows the water just to run through instead of building up. So also, with that work that was done, I don't know if you guys have been up to Red Reservoir, but I think Red Reservoir got quite a bit of water still in it. And that's due to keeping the culverts clean. Same thing with the Half Moon Reservoir. There's also some reservoirs that are on our BLM allotment that normally have just been blown out with the water. The water just kind of runs off, but we figured out a way to collect it. So with the backhoe going through and just kind of touching up some banks, allowing some water to get into the reservoirs. Like John said, I did various cows. Another great thing about having a backhoe, you know, you have these animals, and if you have horses up here and something happens, what are you going to do with it? So to be able to dig a hole is nice. Let's see here. Cattle guards. You know, there are multiple cattle guards on the ranch, and we're talking about installing another one. And we're not quite sure if it's going to work up there or not. Be able to pull the cattle guard and clean it is kind of costly if you were to hire it out. A cattle guard, I don't know, I hope everybody knows what a cattle guard is. There are some people that don't. They think they're hired. And, you know, it's not a guard. So to be able to clean these things out, to be able to do these things is pretty good. Accessibility. I mean, I love to operate equipment. It's what I've done. So it's kind of what I do. As far as water systems go, we did have a sanitary survey this year. It happens every 3 years. And what it is, the state comes in, and they kind of just monitor what you have going on as far as your system and your water. And they came in this year, and we had zero marks on our record. They came through and just inspected the whole system. That's a kind of a private water system. I don't monitor that. The one water system that's regulated with the state is this one that's down here, and then the one that's monitored is up at the upper valley.
If you were to hire somebody to come up here, is there like a normal $300 or $400 delivery fee just to bring it up here?
Yep.
My biggest thing is preventative maintenance. If you go up Meadow Canyon, there wasn't any washovers this year, which normally there's one or two. And what really it is just to be able to go through at the beginning of the season and kind of clean up all the silt that's been collected up and the trees and stuff that's been built up, and just to kind of keep everything clean. So when it does rain, you don't have any problems. normally you don't pay somebody to do preventative maintenance out here. You just kind of fix it when it breaks. So it's just kind of nice just to have, you know, the equipment.
Paul, yes. Let me just say one thing about Paul on the water. You know, you just don't want to drink water and get sick or anything, but actually to be in compliance with the state, Paul made it a point to get the training. And so what's your title?
Class 2 certified state, Utah State.
Say that real loud.
Class 2 Utah State water operator.
So we've encouraged Paul. We've paid for some of his training. We've anyway, so that we have that on site. And you can't believe all of the things that you have to do. And then when they come for an inspection, we don't get any marks. Believe me, that took a lot of effort. So thank you, Paul.
So I hope you all agree that the ranch is looking better than it has in a long time. My wife and I really work hard to kind of make it so you guys can ranch to what you want. I thank you for the opportunity.
Great job, Paul.
I did find the flow chart, so here it is.
Do you want to staple it to the wall?
So this year, rather than giving you a state of the ranch report, I felt there were so many things that it was best to have each. I knew that each board member could fill you in. I thought I might just take a minute and talk to you about what I see as the future here of our ranch. To me, it's bright. We have lots of personalities. New people coming in, buying lots, and there's kind of like a, in biology you call it hybrid vigor. Well, anyway, we've got people that are kind of scripting. Do we get an expert in this or that? You know, how many years have you been here, Vance? 12. But Vance is, you know, there's members that, They get a lot of expertise. Vance knows a heck of a lot about all the waters and the wells and the springs and the state regulations and that. So we encourage you if you have an area of expertise. I think we're finding that we're building a sense of community. Members are starting to know members that have been here for a little while, and that sense of community helping out or informing your neighbor of what there is to do around here, it's good. So at one point in my life, 20-some-odd years here, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's so confusing. There's so much, there's 300, not really 300 people, but a lot of people with all different ideas. And how on earth can you wrangle and manage and get along and function? And I thought, and I think that someday this place, we're going to just sell off the assets and just have our roads taken care of and go to our cabins and property and forget about cabins and all that. But that was a long time ago when I thought that, but it's proven not to be that way. And I have I've been greatly encouraged as to the progress that we've been making in these different areas and the improvement in our cabins. So as time's gone by, we've had these various ideas that have come to fruition and have helped us. So I think as a group, as a membership, we're getting more and more informed on the needs of the ranch and what we can do and how to communicate that. So my look to the future is bright. I think our cabins are getting better, our roads. Especially now with equipment, our roads, we're coming more and more to grips with them. If you'd have been here 20 years ago, if it rained, you wouldn't move 50 feet. Most of our roads were mud.
No gravel.
No gravel. And you'd have to wait until they dried out, because even if you're four-wheel drive, you would not be able to make it over those roads. You'd get bogged down. So it's always been issues of roads, cabins, and we've really come to grips with that to a major extent.
The roads are beautiful.
Yeah, and you can get in and out of here when you have to. Still, if it rains real hard, wait a moment if you can for those roads to dry out just a little bit. You know, the state of Utah and all the surrounding states, I mean, they're more advanced than California, Nevada, and Arizona on the HOA requirements. I see as part of my look to the future, we've had Bob, where is Bob? Robert, Bob, right there. Bob has been going to meetings in St. George where the attorney we've been using for advice, they give classes and information on HOAs. Now, do you know what an HOA, homeowners association? We're kind of a home landowners association. And so there are rules and regs that we have not been aware of, or our old bylaws and protective covenants weren't quite in compliance. And so as I look to the future, we have to bring ourselves into compliance with these things. And they've evolved to protect each individual member. I sometimes, when I first came back to the board a couple of years ago and saw, Candy is in an HOA and brought to the forefront a lot of these rules. No, you're not supposed to do that, or you're not supposed to do this, or you got to do it this way. I kind of went, oh, I hate those things. I hate those kinds of things. But the more I've been educated, the more I see that it actually protects each of us. It lets us live together and not have one person step on everybody's toes as easily. And as far as how we govern ourselves, so there's guidance, and some of it may not be suited to our situation as much. A lot of it is to homeowners, and yep, we're getting more and more cabins built here on the ranch. But the way we communicate, the way we deal with each other, it's important, and there's been a lot of thought behind a lot of those things. So my look to the future is that we will comply. We'll get along better, and we have a great resource as one of our members, Barry here, for legal things as well. So my look to the future is that we will need to gradually and look at, just like we changed our protective covenant this year, and the way things are electronically, we will continue to do that and tweak things, so that we feel comfortable. That everyone kind of follows the rules. So I see more of that. I don't look upon rules as a bad thing. Rules really give us the freedom to function within a certain environment. So I believe there's a need to, and as I look to the future, there's a need for us to continue to update our protective covenants, our bylaws, and our rules and regulations. So organization goes a long way, and it goes a long way to not have problems emotionally with people wanting to do something one way, and it guides us, it helps us. It's our friend, actually. I just see good things. I see our roads continuing to improve. I see our cabins being shored up, being nicer to stay in, little by little, I think we'll be adding more education on what there is to do around here and things to see, and maybe developing historical understanding or recognition of some of these old cabins or springs or areas to go and see that are in conjunction here with our being at the ranch. I've seen more interaction with different, you might call it groups of members that represent either areas or families, and it's been tough. That's been a tough thing, and there hasn't always been agreement, and there still are feelings and things about certain issues. Those are tough things, but I think we did a major thing working through the water stuff this year, and that's a real plus. And there are other issues we need to work through. So together, communicating we're in an age of electronics, and it's we need to be savvy. We need to be able to communicate with each other more and be more open. Will be helpful, and we'll have strong opinions. I mean, with 250 or 300 members, whatever, we have differing opinions. But if we approach it with the attitude of, like Leland was saying, he looks at things and he might not agree with them, but at least he doesn't just close it off. He looks at things and judges. So I think even though we can all be our own man, so to speak, and I do encourage your participation. If we will say, yeah, I don't like that, but listen. We listen to the other side, and then we try to take these ideas. We haven't been 100% successful. There are always innate biases, but as human beings, I see it as the board organization that we have. If we continue to talk to each other, and that will be very important this hour or longer for our open forum after lunch today, that we speak frankly, but that we, I remember the days of very heated annual meetings, very heated, threatening, even physically threatening meetings, and very emotional times. Well, we seem to have, we still have needs and we still have emotions and we still have feelings, but we seem to be moving through that a little better, quite a bit better, actually. So for you new members, today's meeting has been a pleasant meeting, and it's been good, and we've had a number of those now, and things are getting better. So there may be things that you think the board's not doing or whatever. Those ideas aren't just bypassed. They are looked at, and sometimes we can fit things in, sometimes we can't, and sometimes it's going to take a change of a bylaw or a protective covenant to accomplish those things. But I can tell you that we've all worked hard, and I again thank the board this year. I feel accomplished a lot, and it's been great to work with these people. So we don't have election results yet. What we're going to do now, we'll take a few minutes, and those of you that brought things for the potluck, where's Brad?
He's over there.
Brad's over there cooking. Hey, Brad, can you give us a little guidance on lunch? Tell us how, are we going to people to put out their potluck things here?
Yeah, if you're ready, when you get ready, put out your potluck. Take it back there, and we'll call it a steak. We'll have a steak later day if you're doing grand. If you're staked, if you choose a steak, if this gravel fork and you're picking your steaks out of there, that ones are more squishy and more correct. So if you get one that you don't like and you want to cook more, then just bring it back over. We'll
Is it Longhorn?
Oh, it's the one that
it's sacrilegious, he's not eating Longhorn.
So you've got, do we go over there for the steaks? Okay, so for the next 5 minutes or so, we'll gather your potluck things if you brought them, and we'll start lunch. I now recognize I forgot to ask somebody if they'd give us a prayer or blessing on the food, and do I have a volunteer? Okay, John will do it for us. Thank you, John. And then we will meet back here. Depends on the sun, but about approximately 1 o'clock, we'll reconvene. And also, we're having while we eat, we're having an auction on these items here. So somehow or other, we'll accomplish all that, and then we'll have our forum, our open forum, at 1 o'clock.